Grace to you and peace from God who is, who was, and who is to come. Amen. So here's something that you don't know about me and probably don't care about, but I'm going to tell you anyway. My maternal great-grandfather was born and raised in Italy. And my maternal grandmother was born and raised in Finland. Both of them came to Ellis Island, or came to North America through Ellis Island, like 1910 and 1916, respectively. Being immigrants, they faced uphill battles. They had to learn the language. They had to learn to fit in with their own ethnic communities. They had to find a job. They had to learn how to fit in with the native-born communities. Now, on the Brock side of things, my dad had done research, and he determined that our line of Brocks, at least, had been in North America since the early 1700s. I have an ancestor who fought in the Civil War. He lived in North Carolina at the time, so I'll let you figure out which side he fought for. I am also, though, descended from a Brock who was born in the Virginia colonies and who fought in the War for Independence. Now, because my father was also born and raised in North Carolina, for many years, when someone would ask me what my own ethnic heritage is, I would reply, well, I know that I am a quarter Italian, a quarter Finnish, and I am half Southern. So, my paternal grandmother told us stories that we were part Cherokee Indian, which very few of us believed. But she also told us that we were Scot-Irish, which made more sense because her maiden name was Laird, which is Scottish for Lord. So this last Christmas, Marianne got me one of those DNA kits, and you know, I spit into the tube and sent it off. I was interested to see how accurate this was going to be because I knew for certain that I'm, you know, a quarter Italian and a quarter Finnish. So I got the results back, and I was not surprised to see that overall I was considered to be 92% European. Well, duh. Yeah. Of that 92%, though, 22% was considered to be Italian slash Greek, which is obviously my Rotaco side. The two that surprised me the most, though, were first off, my maternal grandmother's background was deemed to be only 9% Finnish. Finnish in northwestern Russia, it said. I am, according to at least this DNA test, 19% Scandinavian, which may not necessarily be a difference to you, but Scandinavia they define as Norway and Sweden, which is not the same as Finland, which if you know anybody from that region, they will verify that those are not the same. And it also means that those Norwegian jokes that I've been telling about my brother-in-law, who is mostly Norwegian for the last 40 years, are about to come around and bite me right in the throat. The second interesting thing to me, though, is that I am apparently, thanks to Grandma Laird, 22% Irish. Now, I grew up in the suburbs of Chicago under the incumbency of His Honor the Mayor Richard J. Daley. And assuming that you don't speak Chicagoan, that was His Honor the Mayor Richard J. Daley. If you don't know who Richard J. Daley was, he was very influential in one of the political parties in the 1960s and 70s, and he was also someone for whom I am almost positive that my great-grandparents continued to vote for long after they had died. And it's because of things like that that I had developed a certain, let me say, opinion about those of Irish heritage. So I am a slew of different backgrounds. I have cousins who are probably, because of their other parent, three-quarters Finnish background. Other cousins, because of their other parent, not my blood relative, who the parent that was 100% Italian, they're probably three-quarter percent Italian. But me, well, it's kind of pretty obvious. I'm a mutt. I found it interesting, though, in our gospel reading this morning, that Jesus, who is pretty unquestionably of Jewish background, of Jewish heritage, go back to Matthew chapter 1, you can see his lineage, his genealogy, although there are some interesting little deviations in there, but he's unquestionably Jewish heritage. And he was living and preaching in a time when, at the very least, the religious leaders were very specific about a person's ethnic heritage. Isn't it interesting that Jesus says, whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. And then he goes on to give a few more examples. Whoever welcomes a prophet, whoever welcomes a righteous person, whoever gives a cup of water in my name welcomes. Jesus says that we are to welcome in his name. We're to welcome them. We're not supposed to check what their ethnic heritage is. We're not supposed to verify that this person has the same ideology as we do. Jesus says, welcome in my name and receive my reward. Okay, so that last little phrase, that might be the little bit of a sticky wicket there. That might be the one setting off the red flags, because in our Lutheran heritage, when we hear reward, that automatically implies works righteousness, not saved by grace through faith. And works righteousness, as I'm sure you remember, works righteousness means we have to earn our reward. We have to earn God's love and grace and forgiveness. And that's not what Luther says. That's not what the Bible says. God, in Ephesians, we are saved by grace through faith, not having to earn God's love and gift and love, God's love and grace and forgiveness. God gives it to us freely because we can never earn it. So we have to remember that when Jesus says, welcome and earn this reward, he's saying this at the end of chapter 10. And now we've been listening to chapter 10 as our gospel reading for the last several weeks, and we've heard those stories. We've heard Jesus talk about those who follow him are going to be persecuted and prosecuted because they believe in him. He's also told us that we need to love the Lord God above everything else, above all of our stuff, but above, love the Lord above anything we do. We'll love the Lord above any one person. So part of what Jesus means when he says, give this cup of water, part of what he means is, hang in there. And part of what he means as well is, if someone comes in my name, it doesn't matter if they're Roman or Jewish or Samaritan or Finnish or Italian or Irish or whatever. If they come in my name, Jesus says, welcome them. And with that understanding, then when we hear, and you'll be rewarded, what he means to say, because that's what I, Jesus, want you to do. Too often, though, don't we approach a situation with preconceived notions going in full effect? Oh, that guy in those flubby clothes over there is coming over to talk to me. I'm sure that he's from a different economic background than I am. I'm going to be really careful in my conversation with him. This guy with the long hair and the beard that's a little bit darker and that thing wrapped around his head, he's obviously first language is not English. I'm not so sure I can trust anything that he tells me. To that kind of thinking, Jesus says, do they come in my name? Then welcome them. Do they look different than you? Doesn't matter, Jesus says. Are they in some other economic stratus? Doesn't matter. Is their native tongue not your own native tongue? Doesn't matter. Do they come in my name? Doesn't matter if they're asking for a little or a lot. The size of the cup itself doesn't matter. If they come in my name, then welcome them. Everything else simply does not matter. And we who are baptized, we are called to serve those who come in Christ's name. Regardless if they look like us, regardless if they sound like us, regardless of if they are of the same economic or ethnic or educational background, give them a cup of water in my name, Jesus says, and receive my grace and love and forgiveness as your reward.